The gospel for today comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. I'm sending upon you what my Father promised, so that stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands. He blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, it's really kind of interesting, I mean, to be out in the parking lot, number one. But have you ever noticed that, you know, sort of your life always gets dominated by something? I mean, right now it's pretty clear. I mean, it gets dominated where sort of the general conversation we all have is about, well, to be real blunt, COVID-19. But, you know, it wasn't that much long ago that most of our conversations were maybe about politics. Maybe about, you know, what was going on years ago, you know, over in Afghanistan or somewhere else. It almost seems like there's all these outside circumstances that so often influence our lives and actually dominate our lives. And yet, what the Christian faith, I believe, teaches more than anything else is that we're not called to have our lives dominated by the things out here, the environmental things, but rather that our priorities should be a relationship with God, and that should be the dominant thing in our life. How good are you at it? Let's put it online here. You know, I know most of you guys, and you know what? I got a feeling sometimes you're real struggling with it. And if you had the truth of the matter, is if you ever got to the place where, you know, God did dominate your whole life, probably the rest of the world would look at you like you're out of your mind. I mean, that's just the reality of things. They would look at you as though, well, you know, why is, you know, he just lives in a cloud or she lives out in this ozone, whatever. But I believe that what the scripture teaches us is that we are created to be in that constant contact with the living God. You know, as I read the scriptures for today, by the way, the scriptures for today that I chose are actually for tomorrow. It's because tomorrow is Ascension Day. I have to be up front with you. You know, I wasn't even really aware of that. It just seems like one long day that we've had since about, you know, February. And all of a sudden I realized, I looked at it, I said, shoot, tomorrow's Ascension Day. So the scriptures that we have are for Ascension Day, about the ascension of Jesus after he was crucified, rose from the dead. Then it says that he walked for 40 days on the earth. He met with the people, he ate with the people, the whole nine yards. And then on the 40th day, he led them out to a mountain, and he went out there, and he ascended into heaven right in front of them. But the conversations that are really kind of interesting in the scriptures that record that effect sort of centered on two things. One, before he is lifted up, the main concern that the disciples have. Now, these are the disciples that lived with him, okay? Because the folks that were there at the ascension were basically Peter, James, John, the apostles, everybody but Judas, of course. And the main conversation that's dominated in this is, are you going to restore Israel? Is this the time when you're going to restore Israel? The other conversation that actually takes place after he ascends into heaven, when you could say that they either meet two men in white or two angels, or probably if a secular guy wrote it, they'd say two men in white coats. But is what? If you just heard me read it, the conversation is the angels say to the apostles, they say, why are you looking up at heaven? Why are you looking up at heaven? The same Jesus is going to come back the same way. Why are you looking up there, looking for where he goes? What that says to me is this. It says that so often in our lives, we have two directions that we look at. One is in the past. When are you going to restore things? Get it back to the way we had them before. Or one is, what's going to go on in the future? What's going to happen there? There's an old saying that I really believe to be true. It says this. You can only see God in the past, you can only hope for God in the future, but you can only experience God in the present. How well do you experience God in the present? Because if you're experiencing him in the present, that doesn't mean you won't be aware of what's going on. COVID-19 will still be there, trust me. The politics and the election year, that'll still be there. The wars around the world, they'll be there. The typhoon hitting India, it's going to be there. But it won't dominate whatever it is. It doesn't dominate it. Because you have an experience where you say, no, I'm going to be present with God in the situation I'm in, but I'm going to let God, in a sense, influence my life more than the situation influence my life. Once again, how good are you at that? Are you good at it, or are you not so good at it? I would have to say, to tell you the truth, some days I'm better than others. I'm never 100%. Because I get drifted away. Sometimes it's where I wake up and I think in the morning I've got to get it going, and usually my routine is get up, get moving, and get things done. And I'm thinking, God, just be with me today. Please just be with me today. Let me not worry about all these other things. Let me not try and control everything that crosses my path. Let me not do that. And I have such good intentions sometimes in the morning. In fact, my prayer in the morning is, God, thanks for giving me another chance to try and get it right. But that lasts maybe an hour for me, if I'm lucky. Sometimes I can get, maybe when I'm walking my dog, I can do it. But as soon as that's done, I'm off and running, and my mind is all the things that have to get done, or all the things I want different than what they are right now. Instead of saying, let me first center in on my relationship with God. It's amazing to me. The 11 apostles, the ones that were with Jesus basically 24/7 for 3 years, didn't get it even after being with him for 3 years, 24/7. So what stands in our way? What stands in our way? Back in the day, the church would have taught that it's sin that stands in your way. I don't know if I would term it that way anymore. I think what stands in my way is my own sense of ego of trying to get it done and create my own little world. Get a handle on everything else. Instead of relying on what happens on Ascension Day that so often I think we miss, to know that the promise of God that the Holy Spirit's going to come really is already here. You see, in 10 days, we'll celebrate Pentecost, when the church receives the Holy Spirit. But truly, if you look at Scripture, especially in the Gospel of John, the night of the resurrection, most of the disciples received the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them, received the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If they retain the sins of any, they are retained. God, through Jesus Christ, on the night of the resurrection, gives the Holy Spirit to the apostles. They already had it. They just didn't know it. You already have it. But do you know it? Do you live in the past, or do you live in the future, or do you experience God and stay in the present? You already have the Holy Spirit. Do you utilize it, or do you think, well, I just want to know what I got to do for God, and then I'll do that for God, but, you know, then I can say I did it, instead of letting the Holy Spirit work through you. On this Ascension Day, I pray that you realize more without a shadow of a doubt that God is there with you. And that He will be with you in the future, and He was there with you in the past, but the only place you're going to experience Him is right here and right now. When we celebrate the Eucharist in just a little bit, I'll break the large host at the end of it, and I'll say, Hallelujah. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. I'm not going to say, Hallelujah, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. And I won't say, Hallelujah, Christ our Passover will be sacrificed for us. But it's is. Life is now. I pray this day that we don't miss it. And I pray that we accept the gift of life and being at peace and not worrying right here, right now, in the moment that we live in. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.